Hey there, my name is Jean Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Welcome to Healing Outside the Box. This is episode 103, and I'm calling it, Yes, Virginia, there is a way to eat healthy on a budget. But first, I must tell you about my wonderful experience with the Cookbook Lovers Meetup Group right here in Salem, Massachusetts. The meetup place was the House of Seven Gables, only about 3 blocks from where I live. This is actually a compound of 4 houses in a beautiful spot at the edge of the ocean right here in Salem Harbor. One of the houses is the actual House of Seven Gables, named for the famous novel by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Hawthorne was actually born in this house and lived with his aunt, a woman with the last name of Ingersoll. The Ingersoll family lived there for generations, but prior to that, this house and neighboring houses were owned by members of the Turner family, a wealthy, prominent family in the early days of Salem Village. One of these small wooden frame structures actually dates back to 1655. If you like historical architecture, you'd love this because you can actually see the door frame from the 17th century and, of course, the windows the way they were built at that time. Now the entire compound is publicly owned and you can take a tour through these different homes and then sit by the ocean and look at their beautifully landscaped garden. We did exactly that last Sunday when we went to our Cookbook Lovers meetup. There was a very long table dressed in a white tablecloth and homemade vases full of sunflowers down the length of the table. Another table was adorned with recipes that people cooked and brought to the get-together. This table was literally in arm's reach from the railing overlooking the ocean. It was breathtakingly beautiful. On this particular day, people were asked to bring a recipe made from the cookbooks of Molly Katzen. Now, I'll give you a little background on Molly Katzen. She is best known for her original vegetarian cookbook called The Moosewood Cookbook, named after her restaurant in Ithaca, New York. Now, I went to school in Ithaca, New York, and I am familiar with the restaurant. I think my second apartment in Ithaca was about 5 blocks from the restaurant, and that was my crunchy granola days, so frequently I went with my friends to the restaurant. Molly Katzen was the chef and creator of many vegetarian dishes from around the world, and her cookbooks have become worldwide bestsellers. She actually has a website now, called mollykatzen.com, not surprisingly. I will give you the embed link in the show notes. Basically, Molly Katzen and another woman at the time, Frances Moore LePay, were the 2 women that brought vegetarian meals to mainstream America back in the late 70s and 80s. So the ladies of the Cookbook Lovers Club, of which I am a new member, were all asked to bring an entree from one of Molly's cookbooks. We were seated at this long, beautiful table, and we all, one by one, told our story of how we made one of her recipes and then reviewed it for the other like-minded folks at the table. It was a beautiful day in the 70s with a nice sea breeze, and we all had a wonderful time. I felt so very relaxed among these women that I had never met before. It was one of those moments when the thought suddenly popped into my head, "It just doesn't get better than this." And I say that also because someone once asked me what it is like to be a long-term meditator. They were asking me something like, "Do you feel like you get transformed into another place?" And my answer was something like, "It's actually quite the opposite. Meditation helps you to appreciate the present moment at that exact moment." And that's what I felt like when I was sitting with those ladies. Everything was just the way it should be. Anyway, I made the calzone, which was the only Italian recipe in the book. Of course, I'd go Italian. And when I read the ingredients, I saw 1 pound of spinach. But I actually forgot that 1 pound of spinach is actually 1 pound of spinach. My colossally huge bag was only 9 ounces, and I had a bit of a soupy stuffing going on because I already had added the ricotta cheese. Anyway, I opened my refrigerator to see what would fall out. This is what I call Plan B. As it turns out, I had a little extra mozzarella cheese, and I added that. So I made my calzones with homemade marinara sauce, and I also made hummus with homemade pita chips. I have recipes somewhere for the sauce and the hummus. I'll be sure to put it on my website, and I'll give you a link in the show notes. My website is healingoutsidethebox.com. So everyone oohed and aahed at my recipes, and I, in turn, oohed and aahed at their recipes. We all had a grand time and vowed to get together next month for a food swap, and I believe she said it's going to be salsas. By the way, I did a food swap podcast episode a few weeks back. I believe it was episode 96, and I'll give you a link in the show notes for that as well. All of this brings me to the subject of this week's podcast, how to eat healthy without spending a lot of money. One of the things that I'm hinting at with this story is that we can all make a healthy recipe that feeds, say, 4 to 6 people and share it with our family or friends. Hummus is made with chickpeas and olive oil. The olive oil I already had in my cabinet, and the chickpeas for this entire recipe cost about $3. I happened to be in the farmer's market last Thursday and picked up some scallions at about half the price they would have been in the supermarket. Obviously, in New England, scallions are only available this time of year, but that's another recommendation I have. If the vegetables are peaking, you might want to peel out a recipe that includes that particular type of produce. Now, people in the media love to tell us that vegetarian eating is expensive, and here's what I'd like to say about that. No, 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 no. Or perhaps, yes, 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 if you shop only at Whole Foods and buy things like saffron and exotic prepared foods. Perhaps with the exception of fish, this does not have to be the case. Meatless meals can have rice or pasta or something like pita bread or legumes. I love saying legumes as the centerpiece of the meal. And by legumes, I mean beans, chickpeas, lentils, etc. These types of ingredients are actually inexpensive in the grocery store. When I went online, I checked a few brands of organic pasta. Now, I'm not sure I'm saying this right, but there's a brand called Bionaturae Organic 100% Semolina Pasta. This was $3.19 per pound, and a pound is 4 to 6 servings. My Mantova pasta that I order online is $3.49 per pound. You could get these through Amazon or through their brand website. A huge bag of organic rice is about $4 or $5, and it lasts me quite a while. So there are a lot of organic products like the pasta and organic sugar that can be ordered online. Now, when you do go to a place like Whole Foods, you can get very specific items and then get the heck out of there. For example, the peanut butter that they grind right there in the aisle for you is about $5, but it lasts for a long time and is delicious. Again, you may not want to get your aluminum foil or shampoo at Whole Foods because, yes, certain items are very expensive. If you'd like help stocking your kitchen with healthy, inexpensive foods, I can offer wellness coaching services during which I could give you some advice and perhaps help you to implement your plan. You could say, for example, my goal is to XYZ, and then we work together to break that down to a specific plan with realistic weekly goals. If you're interested, you can contact me on my website, healingoutsidethebox.com, and click on contact. There's also a previous podcast episode where I give you some tips on buying healthy foods on a budget. I believe it was episode 17, and I'll give you a link in the show notes. But one of the things I remember mentioning is that if you want to buy a more expensive entree or make it at home that includes something like shrimp, you may feel the need to sacrifice a little on the portion size. For example, you may want to buy 12 ounces of shrimp rather than 16 ounces and make a fancy rice to go with it. You could add coconut or mushrooms to the rice, or get a pound of green beans or broccoli from the farmer's market to add to the whole dish. I'm lucky enough to live near the ocean, and most of the fish this time of year is from Massachusetts, so I may get the fish that has come in recently and is plentiful. So there may be a better price on that versus the shrimp, which is all frozen and coming from a longer distance. A while back, I remember doing a nutrition counseling session for someone that needed to be on a low saturated fat diet for their heart condition. They asked me, okay, I've got my plate, and I've got my potatoes in that corner, and I've got my vegetable, and then there's a blank space where the meat should go. What do I do to replace the meat? Now, I rambled on a bit, but basically started talking about seeing his dinner more like an ensemble cast in the middle of the plate. The other thing that people are never taught in school is that everything has protein in it. Most foods are an ensemble, I love that word, of protein, carbohydrate, and fat. Also, when it comes to sustainability, perhaps we may not be able to afford the luxury of always having a huge portion of meat as the center of attraction. Another way to look at getting more for less money is to see soups and salads as more of a meal rather than a starter. Do you need a bigger portion of soup to fill you up? Yes, of course. But right now, most towns have a lovely bakery nearby where you could pick up a great bread to have on the side. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Freshly baked bread is not the villain that people have led to believe it is. We've been eating the gluten in bread for thousands of years. The problem is not the gluten itself, but the fact that the single-cell lining of our intestines has been damaged, and this allows the gluten to get through into our bloodstream, where our bodies treat it like an invader. I've had episodes about that as well. I'll put another link in there. Now, this may seem like a shocking statement, but hold on to your hats, because I'm going to say it anyway. Perhaps we should spend a larger percentage of our total dollar on healthy, delicious food. And heavens to Betsy, eating should be pleasurable. When we share great-tasting food with our family and friends, we make moments in time to remember. Now, before I leave you, I just wanted to mention what has been going on with the GMO labeling bill. On July 1st, the Vermont GMO labeling bill, which had already become law, was enacted. The Monsanto counter bill that would make the Vermont bill illegal for both Vermont and the other 49 states passed in the House, passed in the Senate, and was signed by President Obama. So it is now law. The Vermont bill is null and void. The federal mandate, I guess, takes precedence over the state law that voters had voted in. Now, this disappointed many of us who were working hard to keep the Vermont GMO labeling law intact. However, there are many grassroots organizations that are not giving up this fight. This is what I feel about this. This is our fight. You and I and everyone who cares deeply about what they and their children and grandchildren are eating. I truly believe that as evidence comes in about Roundup and other pesticides, and liquid anhydrous ammonia, and other processing techniques, people will simply choose not to eat these foods. So that's our real power, and no senator or congressman can take that away from us. That's all I have for you today. Be well, and stay tuned next week for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.